This is Roger Bennett, and this is Men in Blazers on Ice, presented by Jägermeister, the extended full-length podcast version of a digital interview which just dropped across the NHL's mighty platforms. A conversation with one of the most intellectually complex athletes I've interviewed this year, Mr. Mark Scheifele of your Winnipeg Jets. An incredible athlete, an incredible human being who has willed himself to greatness by embarking on an unobtainable quest for perfection, experimenting with anything and everything that he believes might give him even a minimal edge. His story of values and change, of transforming himself while staying firmly true to his core beliefs, is genuinely fascinating. I'll say I wish I had a bit of Mark's discipline in my life, and I think you will too. Please be sure to check out the digital video for more. It's magnificent. And remember, Men in Blazers on Ice is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are distributed, including NHL.com and the NHL app. Rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends, with your enemies too. We are so grateful to Jägermeister for this partnership to make this happen. There's an incredible back catalogue of interviews you can check out, including with the great Ryan Reeves, Patty Maroon, Sebastian Aho, and more. Oh, Jägermeister is the official shot of the NHL. To me, they're a bolt of human emotion in a shot glass. And I raise one to you as we begin this pod, pretty stunning video version of which, filled with Mark's philosophy on life and sport and what it feels like to lead by example, can be found on NHL.com and Men in Blazers social right now. Enough of all that, though. To the pod, here he is, Mr. Mark Scheifele. My guest today is a gent who's one of the most kinetic forces in hockey. Technically meticulous, buccaneering, clean-mouthed. His emergence and success are the result of a competitive fire, an inability to sit still, which he's channeled into constant self-improvement, a persistent search for greatness, and becoming an elite star, which is all a testament that a human being who wants to be the best has to be committed to doing whatever it takes to get there. It's great to welcome Mr. Mark Scheifele.
Hey, Raj. It's good to be on with you guys.
Oh, it is a joy to be with you, Mark. I've revered you from afar, but let's go back to the beginning. You were born the youngest of three children in Kitchener, Ontario, K-Dub, 60 miles west of Toronto. Your first encounters with hockey were rollerblading out in the streets against your brother. You were a skinny kid back then. What were those games like?
Me and my brother would go out there and we would pretend we were guys in the Detroit Red Wings. He'd be Steve Yzerman and I'd be Pavel Datsyuk. A lot of the time it wasn't actually games. We would just do passing plays and we always wished that we would have played on a team together because we were always 2 years apart. We never got to play on the same team. So we always felt like we had this good connection on the ice. So I always wished I would have got to play with my brother.
You were so obsessed back then. You'd play all day. And I believe that when you had to come in for dinner, you'd leave your blades on. Put a piece of cardboard under the table to eat dinner so you didn't have to waste any time before heading straight back into the street.
You did your research there, Raj. I love hearing that. My mom didn't want us to scratch the floors or get them dirty, so she would put the cardboard down and we would eat and then we'd go right back outside.
Shout out to moms. As a child, you worked tirelessly to compete and beat your older siblings, treating everything you did, be it sport or just running up the stairs, as if some globally televised world championship was perpetually up for grabs. When did you first realize, Mark, that you had a ragingly competitive inner fire?
Pretty early on. Growing up with two older siblings, they were bigger and stronger than me, so I had to be tough. I definitely got at my brother a little too hard every once in a while. He had to let me know to put me back in my place, so I always wanted to win. I hated losing.
The Scheifele childhood was a litany of smashed tennis rackets, snapped hockey sticks, flipped over Monopoly boards. And a short fuse like that, a rage, can lead a human to a pretty dark place. You somehow empowered it to be a positive, to give you another gear to work harder to win.
I think that's the way that my parents raised us was you can hate to lose, but you can't be a sore loser. So that's something I definitely had to learn as a kid is to not pout, lose with dignity and win with dignity as well. So that was something that I definitely learned growing up, and I have my parents to thank for that.
You know, your parents, I'm fascinated by the values they inculcated into your sports life, whether it was basketball, hockey, lacrosse, because you played them all. They said, have fun was rule number one. But they also impressed the value of self-improvement to you. Their belief, if you're going to do something, you have to work hard at it.
Yeah, that was the way that they lived their lives was, you got to work hard at something, but you have to enjoy it. And you're going to work harder at something when you love it and you enjoy doing it. Whether that was schoolwork or whatever sport we were playing, don't just do it, do it to enjoy it and to work hard at it. So I didn't show that appreciation for my parents when I was younger. But when I look back on it, they instilled so many great values in me, my brother and sister, that I'm so, so very appreciative that I had parents as amazing as they were.
The age of 16 was the time hockey went from something that you loved to a real obsession. You were playing at the junior B level for the mighty Kitchener Dutchman, still a truly scrawny, skinny kid, when the late, great Jet Hall of Famer Dale Hawerchuk first encountered you. He was then coach of the Barry Colts in the OHL. He traded for you. Would it be fair to say, Mark, that man changed your life?
Oh, for sure. Just gave me the chills talking about him, but he did change my life. He was such an amazing mentor of mine. He did so much for me. He taught me so much. He instilled so much confidence in me as well and motivated me in all the best ways and knew that he could push me and push me harder and harder. And I wouldn't be where I am today without him. And I'm so lucky to have known him.
Of the 3 years you played with Hawerchuk, you've said that you learned something new from his approach every single day. He taught you to be a sponge, soak up any tiny bit of knowledge wherever, whenever you can. What was the most important life lesson that he taught you?
There were so many of them. That's the crazy thing. It was how to handle your agent, how to handle your dad, how to handle friends, how to handle all that stuff. But then on the ice, it was how to watch hockey, how to enjoy watching hockey, the education of it, to watch the best players in the world play every day and be able to pick up things that they do, things that you can try in practice, that you can try in games. And I think that's the one thing hockey-wise that I think he instilled in me the most was the education of the game and the constant learning aspect of it.
He had an incredible mantra, which I love. He used to say there's free education on TV, and he used to make you watch everybody, every game, every player. You'd watch the greats. Did you watch them and think I, Mark Scheifele, could be one of them, or did it seem like a world away?
It definitely felt like a world away. That's what humbled me as well. I didn't look at it as that's going to be me one day, but that could be me one day if I continue to work hard. And I think watching the Sidney Crosbys, the Jonathan Taves at the time, watching them play, you're like, wow, these guys are amazing. Like how much stuff I can learn from them, how much stuff I can pick up from just watching these guys play on a night-to-night basis. But that was something that I wanted to be. It was a dream of mine, but I knew it was going to take a lot of hard work and I had to continue to push. And I think Dale was such a crucial part in pushing me to want to reach my full potential.
Partially thanks to Dale's recommendation, the Winnipeg Jets selected you with the 7th overall pick in the 2011 draft. The franchise's first pick after relocating to Winnipeg from Atlanta barely a month earlier. And the humility with which you handled that moment and the spotlight made you an instant fan favourite. But you've admitted that transition to the big time. Well, let's just say you felt the pressure.
Oh, for sure I did. I got sent down twice, which definitely isn't easy. A lot of doubt, a lot of fear creeps into your mind. You're not sure how to handle it. You know, all of a sudden you're this big shot in the NHL and then you come back to playing in junior and you're unsure if you're ever going to get another chance in the NHL. You're unsure of what's going to happen from then on. And I definitely went through some dark days where I definitely wasn't myself, but I had great supporting people around me, my friends, my family, Dale, my teammates. I continue to work hard. I continue to push hard. And no, it's not just going to come to me. It's going to take a lot of hard work to get there. And I'm glad I put in all that hard work.
As you said, twice you were sent back down to the junior levels. And this was when other franchises were pushing their 18, 19-year-olds into the starting lineups. Never mind first-round draft picks who carry that weight of expectation. Talk radio began to wonder if you were a bust who couldn't physically deal with the NHL's intensity. Can you give us a sense of those days, Mark? Because you've admitted there were weeks when you struggled with doubt yourself.
Oh, yeah. I definitely got really dark. There's days where any little thing would bother you. A bouncy puck in practice, all of a sudden you would snap. A guy would hit you in practice and I would snap. It wasn't because of that happening. It was because there was fear and there was doubt in my mind and felt like one thing went bad and all of a sudden I'm never going to play in the NHL again. I'm never going to reach my goal. And I think that's something that all young kids deal with is one bad thing happens and you feel like you're the worst player in the world. And then all of a sudden one good thing happens and then you're the next Wayne Gretzky. And I think I've learned over the years is you can't get too high, you can't get too low. And such a crucial thing to always think about is that roller coaster. You got to even keel, no matter if it's a good day, a bad day, you have to continue to work on your game. You got to continue to fight that doubt and that fear and enjoy it.
In the 2 years after the draft, you played just 11 regular season games and were in somewhat of a rut. But your career changed during the summer of 2013 when you started to work out at the same Toronto area gym as Steven Stamkos and Connor McDavid. Their company, their camaraderie, changed the way that you understood what you needed to do to gain the edge you required. Can you tell us, what are they teaching?
When you're training with Connor McDavid, Steven Stamkos, they're going to push you. You're going to see things that they're doing that change your perspective on things, and it's going to push you to be better. I know those guys well now, and they're still the exact same way. Connor McDavid's the best player in the world, and he still is pushing for more. He's still pushing to gain an edge every single season, and that's something that I respect so much, and I watch for, and I see, well, if that guy's doing it, we have to do even more. You can't just be content with where you're at and doing the same thing over and over. You've got to continue to push for more. And that part of the game, I really enjoy.
I'm fascinated by the camaraderie between the three of you because you are all on truly remarkable teams, elite players on truly remarkable teams, competitors. Yet in that gym, there's an incredible camaraderie where you all support each other and drive each other on.
Yeah, for sure. I think on the ice, you know, you want to be way better than that guy. You want to prove that you're better than them, but that's the people they are. Their integrity for the game is so high, and I think that's why I respect them so much, is because these guys were first overall picks, perennial superstars from when they were 16 years old, and you see the work ethic that they put in every single day, the intensity that they give every single day. They're not going to rest on their laurels and rest on how many points they've had in their career, all the awards that they've gotten. They're still pushing every single day. They still want to be the best. They still want to chase that goal of winning a Stanley Cup and making their team better. And when you see Stammer all of a sudden win last year, it's an amazing thing to see all his hard work finally come to fruition. And it pushes me to do that one day as well. On the ice, their competitors are going to work hard. They're going to battle hard. They're not going to take a shift off. But off the ice, they're just great human beings. And I respect those guys so much. The amount that they've taught me, that they continue to teach me on a day-to-day basis is amazing. And I'm truly grateful that I had the opportunity to meet them and be friends with them.
You're also living proof that sometimes even elite athletes need time to grow into their bodies and move from lanky kid to true NHL frame.
My OHL draft year, I was about 150 pounds soaking wet. I was a really tall, skinny kid. And I didn't really understand the whole workout aspect, the eating aspect. I was 18 and 19 and I'd crush like 12 granola bars a day because I just felt like I needed to eat calories. I just had to consume a ton of calories. I was a skinny, scrawny kid and I had to put on weight. You got to get bigger. You got to fill out your frame.
You got to bulk up, Shifley.
Honestly, that's literally what I felt like. I was like, I got to just eat as much food as I can. I got to scarf down anything.
Thus began a lifelong, deeply held desire for self-improvement. Specialized diets, workout plans, yoga, massage, sleep regimens. To really a mindset you open yourself up to, Mark, that to be successful, you have to try anything and everything, really to invest in yourself.
You know, it wasn't about putting on 20 pounds. It was about doing the right things, doing the right workout, and slowly building that base for yourself. That's not just going to last you for that year, but it's going to last you for the rest of your career. From working out to treatment to nutrition. Can't just do one thing and expect the world to come to you. You know, you have to continue to learn. You have to continue to fight for what you want and to fight to get better. Every year, there's something else that you can change, something else that you can try to improve on, something else that you can try to get an edge on. And if you continue to work at it and work at it and work at it, that hard work will pay off one day. And I think that's a life lesson. That's just not a hockey lesson, is sometimes you got to pay your dues. Sometimes you got to work through those hard days to get to that eventual goal in your life.
Your physicality and regimen was just one aspect of your remarkable journey. Your mental approach was another crucial part of your transformation. In 2015, you hired NHL Hall of Famer Adam Oates as your personal skills coach. For those who never watched the Giant, he was one of the most cerebral players. Hockey IQ, off the charts. Dude was like Isaac Newton on skates. And the two of you talk every day, sometimes twice a day. What do you talk about?
Anything. Sometimes it's about golf. He's become really one of my best friends, to be honest. He's a guy I love to be around. He's not just one of the smartest hockey minds out there, but he's one of the smartest minds. So it's about something that happened in the game or something that happened in the Toronto-Calgary game that we saw. And talking about a certain place, he absorbs so much information on a day-to-day basis that he's always got another story. He's always got another tidbit of information to help you in your game and also in your life. He's gone through a lot of different life experiences. And sometimes you just need a guy to talk to. You're going through a tough time. You're going through a good time. And you need a guy that's gone through those experiences to talk it out with and help you out with it.
Your relationship with Oates, it's created a nightly post-game ritual. After every game, you leave the rink with every one of your shifts downloaded onto a laptop, and the two of you begin to analyze the good, the bad, shift by shift, right? What are you looking for?
A lot of it has to do with certain touches of the puck. Every time you get a pass, an indirected puck, there's certain spins on the puck. So what your process of grabbing that puck, getting your head up, understanding what your plan is with that puck, and then being able to make a play and being able to do that consistently. So a lot of it is those little intricacies of how you take the puck and how you're able to make plays from there.
So I watch you play, Mark, and I got to tell you, Mark Scheifele, you look so strong and so fast. When you watch yourself, do you really see a man who can get still even stronger, can get even faster?
Oh, for sure. I think I'm still in search of being stronger, being quicker, being able to process things quicker and be in the right spot. And I think that's what I love about the game is there's always improvement. The game of hockey is always continual learning. There's always ways to improve. There's always ways to find that edge. And I think that's why I love the game so much is because every single day you get the chance to go on the ice. There's another time to improve or figure something out, or there's a certain play where maybe you've struggled with. There's always another chance to figure it out and analyze it and make it better.
So is the Mark Scheifele Cup, is it always half full?
I think so. My dad might be one of the most positive people in the world. So we'll go golfing and he'll hit the ball, or I'll hit the ball like 50 yards into the forest. Like you saw it go deep into the forest. And he'll be like, I think I actually saw it pop out up there. So that's always the joke. He is literally the most positive person in the world. So I've learned that from him to treat every day with that glass half full perspective and just enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy what you're doing every single day and look at everything as a positive thing. And I definitely have learned that from him.
You also look at the minutiae of your opponents. Your hockey brain has few peers. How does knowing that much detail, which way opposing teams' third pair defensemen like to turn when pressured, how does that help your game and what you see on the ice?
That comes down to finding that certain edge. If you know a little more about the opponent, and you know what certain things that are in their system, and you know how to exploit that, that's only going to help you create chances, create ozone time, make it harder on them on a night-to-night basis. And I think when you pick up those things as quick as you can, it's only going to give you that advantage, that next shift, that shift after, and then they have to adjust. So then you have them on their heels. So that gives you that edge.
You watch so much hockey, Mark, that it's been said that you're not only one of the NHL's best players, you're also pro hockey's biggest hockey fan.
I love watching the game. I am a big fan. I love good hockey games. No matter who it is, if there's a good hockey game going on and good plays, big saves all over the ice, I look at it more as a fan than learning. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see buddies play. I love watching the game.
Who are your favorite players? Who do you admire and why?
Connor's one of them. I love watching him play. Obviously, his speed is sensational, but my two favorite probably right now are Patty Kane and Artemi Panarin. I loved watching them when they played together. Watching both of them play is special. They have something that a lot of guys don't have. And it's not like they do one thing amazing. Like, it's not like Connor McDavid, where his speed is head and shoulders above everyone. But you watch those two play, and every single play that they make is perfect. Everything they do, shooting, passing, skating, they're able to slow down the game. They're able to make whatever team they're playing against, they're able to make it their game. Or you're playing Patty Kane's game. You're not playing Chicago against Carolina. You're playing Patrick Kane's game. You're not playing New York against Boston. You're playing Artemi Panarin's game. And I think that's something that is so special to see.
When I watch Winnipeg Jets, to a large degree, they're playing Mark Scheifele's game, because your entire regimen has allowed your game to reach another level season on season. The harder you work, the more you've lifted your skills to transcendent levels. You've said that to thrive, all you need to do is to create the separation equal to the length of a puck. Is that the thought that you carry in your head on the ice, Mark? How can you create that separation in more creative ways than your opponent?
That's exactly it. There's so many minute details of the game that have to be right to be able to score, to be able to defend properly. You have to be on. And I'm not perfect. You know, I make mistakes. I get lazy. I get on the wrong side of it, whatever that is. But it's the way that you bounce back from it. If you realize that I made a bad read, that constructive side of the game is so crucial. And it's tough to be told that you made the bad read, but I think it's great to be told you made the bad read because that's learning. And this game is always about learning. You got young guys, you have old guys. If everyone's learning and everyone wants to learn, that's when you create something special. That's when things become great.
All this dedication, all this desire to improve, fused with your natural trait, your competitive fire. In a deeply competitive league, you know and still mark for the extent you hate to lose. Now you're a pro. You've got 10 seasons under your belt. Winning and losing, it's almost a daily part of life. Has that hate to lose attitude lessened at all?
I still absolutely hate to lose. I think I hate to lose more than I like to win. You ask anyone, they know even if it's a 2-on-2 game in practice, I hate to lose. So that's still there. In terms of the ups and downs, I think that's gotten better. The even keel of it, I worked on. And when I do get angry that I lost, I don't go down such a hole that I get so negative. I'm able to regroup and I can lose with integrity and then be able to push for more. And then winning, not getting so high and not being on top of the world. You have a good game. What did you do well? What can you do next game to make it even better? And that's what I've really learned over the last few years.
Which makes another trait about you all the more remarkable is hate to lose. That in a game of bruising, unrelenting physicality, competitive alphas, and major, major chirping, you never swear.
Yeah, I know. That one's just my parents. My parents put that in us as kids that you don't say certain words. And I think if my mom heard me swear, she would blow a gasket. We grew up in a Christian home and you didn't say those bad words. And we stuck with that.
Of all your superlative achievements on the ice, might that just be your greatest human achievement, Mark?
My mom has actually said that. She said everything that you've done, the fact that you don't swear still is one of your greatest achievements. So I think my mom is most proud about that. And just knowing that she's proud of me about that is enough reason to never swear. So I'll keep doing it for you, Mum.
Clean mouth and the only F-bombs are friggins and frickins. Swearing aside, one writer called your total approach to sports the Tom Brady of the NHL. Do you like that comparison?
I love that comparison. Tom Brady is the hero of mine. I'd love to meet him one day, but I met with his prior chef in Boston a few years ago, learning about the nutritionist side of things. But you see someone continue to get better and better at his age, who's done it all, winning the amount of Super Bowls. He's literally done everything in his career. He's probably one of the guys in our world that could literally say, yeah, I'm done everything. And he continues to push. He continues to get better. And I think that hits me hard because that respect for someone that loves the game so much and someone that continues to work hard, continues to want better. That's something that I try to think about on a day-to-day basis, to continue to push, continue to get better, and continue to be that person that my parents raised me to be. And it's not about all the accolades. I read this in Tim Tebow's book. When I'm on my deathbed, I hope people don't say, oh, he was a fantastic football player or baseball player, but he was a fantastic person. That's something that definitely hit me hard is, you know, I want to be someone that people regard as being a good person, impacted people's lives. That's the way I want to live my life.
What is hockey to you, Mark?
It is more than a game. It's not a business to me. I'm very lucky that it's my job, but it's pure love for the game. I love playing hockey. I love being on the ice. I love being with all my best friends every single day. When I don't have hockey in my life, I don't really know what to do with myself because it's what I want to be doing every single day. So it is a pure love for the game, and I couldn't imagine not having it in my life.
And that love is really what drives you. There's a quote that I've always enjoyed from Susan Sontag. She said, never worry about being obsessive. Obsessive people make great art. Do you relate to that? Obsessive people make great hockey moments.
I think so. I think we all have a little bit of an obsessive gene in us. We have that perfectionism. There's never enough. We always want to push for more. We always want to be better. And I think that's what makes great hockey players. The Connor McDavids, the Sidney Crosbys, the Wayne Gretzky's of the world, they pushed for more. You see Connor McDavid work out, you see him on the ice. He's always pushing for more. He's always pushing for more. And if he's doing it, I got to be doing double what he's doing to be able to get to his level. So that's in all of us, that competitiveness.
And it's that which drives you. And at the end of the day, when the game is on the line, watching you, it's clear that's what makes you want the puck to be in one place only at the end of your stick.
Oh, 100%. I'd way rather the puck be on my stick at the end of the game than anyone else's. Even if the outcome's bad, I'd rather know that I gave everything I had and I gave it my best, opposed to, you know, it not being on your stick and feeling like you're helpless. And that's the way I always look at it.
I've got to say, your confidence is palpable in those moments.
I like to think so. I like to think I'm confident. I work really hard at the game. So that work ethic and that drive to continue to improve is able to give you that confidence. And I think you need to have that in a game that's so fast. You have to have that confidence with the puck that when push comes to shove, you know you can make a certain play, you can make a shot, you can make a pass. And that's something that you can always continue to push for.
Mark, you're an inspiration. You've worked ceaselessly to strengthen first your body and then your mind. Here's what I want to know. Can you envisage a moment when you will be satisfied and believe that you've finally become the best that you can be?
I could say Stanley Cup, but I still think I wouldn't be satisfied. I think there's still more. Obviously, that's the main goal. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the end of my career. When I retire and I know that I gave it my all is when I'll know I'll be satisfied, is knowing that I didn't leave anything on the table. I gave it my all. And when that time comes, then I know I'll be satisfied and I'll be able to live my life and enjoy it. And I think I wouldn't be able to enjoy the rest of my life knowing that I left anything on the table.
Mark Shifley, to you, your team, your family, your success. Thank you.
Thank you, Raj.
Courage. Mark Shifley, what a hero's journey that man is on. Godspeed to him and all in the Jets organization and the great city of Winnipeg. We have a fascinating conversation up next with the Iron Man, the great humble Keith Yandle. If you are listening to this, please, please, please subscribe, rate, review, share it with your mates, revel in the back catalogue. Matthew Tkachuk, Patty Maroon, Ryan Reeves and more means the world to us, as does our partnership with Jägermeister. Now go and watch the Mark Shifley video on NHL.com and Men in Blazers Twitter. It's the honour of a lifetime to work on these magnificent stories. To more, courage.